thanks and praise for this new Lord's Day. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, who rose from the dead on the first day of the week to give your life to us. Father, we ask that you bless this time now, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think that Pastor Harold has maybe mentioned this a couple of times in a couple of different settings. One of the things that I've wanted to particularly mention and talk to you for a few minutes about is some of the lessons that the Lord has been teaching me and I think our congregation over the last few years, particularly with regard to outreach and evangelism. So I want to begin by telling you the story of how God tricked me into starting a outreach on the University of Idaho campus. So we live in a small town. It's about 25,000 people. It's a college town. University of Idaho is one of the state schools in Idaho. It's about 8,000 students, and there is our church, Christ Church. Many of you would know the name Douglas Wilson. He's the pastor of Christ Church, which is also in the same town. We're part of the, all of us are part of the CREC. We were planted by Christ Church about 13 years ago. And so there's a sizable Christian community there, but there's also a sizable, as far as Idaho itself is a fairly, it's a fairly conservative state. It has a heavy Mormon population down south in particular, which kind of leans it conservative, at least somewhat that way. And so by and large, you know, it'll vote conservative, but our county is the one county that typically actually will vote liberal. And that's because of the University of Idaho right there. So we live in a particularly, I think, strategic place because of that. So where the Lord's blessed us with a strong Christian community, and yet we have, a lot of strong opposition. And I think that's a really, good thing actually. And I want to talk a little bit more about that, but I want to, first of all, tell you the story of, as I said, how God tricked me into this ministry. So I've been for the last about, almost 3 years now, part of a group of folks that go up to the University of Idaho campus. And, we're now doing it almost, on average about twice a week, but began as once a week, going up, and I do some open air preaching. And if you'd asked me about 5 or 6 years ago if I'd ever consider open air preaching, I would have laughed at you. I would have, you know, I would have said, "Oh, that's nice, but that's for, you know, screamers and you know, mean people, and you know, people that think the end of the world is, you know, near, right?" That's what the signs always say. However, about 3 years ago or so, I need to someday go back and get the exact timing on this, but there was a particular week in which I had been in my own scripture reading and study. I think it's at the end of one of Paul's letters where he's giving one of these, as his custom, is giving sort of a, I don't know what you call it, sort of a machine gun list of final exhortations, as he's wont to do. You know, don't forget this, remember this, do that. You know, he's kind of doing one of those last list of things before he signs off the letter. You know, love, Paul. And so he's got all these, this sort of this, rifle shot of exhortations, and in reading that, one of the things that that one of the exhortations that Paul is giving is he says you know, quit yourself like men, and do not don't lose heart, be stirred up and stir one another up to love and good works, and he's giving these series of exhortations. And for whatever reason that week, I don't know if it was lack of sleep or what I had for breakfast or the Holy Spirit, probably a little bit of everything. Lord just really burdened me with some of these exhortations that we needed to be asking God to stir us up. and that we were a blessed Christian community, and God had done wonderful things, but it would be easy to just coast. It would be easy to think, hey, this is, we're doing pretty good, and we're doing fine, and leave it at that. And then the Lord just burdened me with this. We need to ask God to stir us up. We need to not rest on our laurels. We need to not be apathetic. We need to ask Him to push us to do whatever it is that we need to do, and be unafraid and bold and whatever that means. And one of the things that we've done since the beginning of Trinity is, in order to just keep open lines of communication and good community and fellowship with Christchurch, we, the elders of both churches, regularly have a joint elder meeting where we just talk about joint matters. And so it used, for many years, it was every month, and now it's every other month, but we still do it regularly, so that we can, small town, small community, lots of overlapping people and all that kind of stuff. So there's plenty for us to touch base on and communicate about. But what we do is, every other month, or, from meeting to meeting, Pastor Doug Wilson and myself, we go back and forth and give a short exhortation to the elders at the beginning of the joint elder meeting. It was my turn that week, and I had just been, reading these passages, been praying about it. And so I went in that morning, to the joint elder meeting, and I just gave that exhortation as something that God had just been, placing on my heart, and said, we are called to be men. We're called that to be a man means that you go out into the fray, you go out into the, where the danger zone is, and we need to be asking God to stir us up, not let us be apathetic and coast. So I gave this exhortation, and I go back to my office that morning, and I open my email inbox, and there's this email from a guy in my church, and all it says is, "Dear Toby, there are many people on the university who do not know Jesus. Will you please go with me this week and preach to them? Jason." And I said, "What?" I really quickly wrote back and said, "Sure, what time?" And hit send before I could change my mind, before I could come up with a good excuse. But that's why I say, I believe that God tricked me into this. Because I wouldn't have wanted to be stirred up that way. But I knew that there was no way that I could stand up that next Sunday morning in front of my people and have any kind of moral authority at all if I didn't receive this as from the Lord and figure out how to do it. So then I immediately pulled up Google and entered open air preaching and found a bunch of examples of things I didn't want to do. I'd never done it before. I don't know that I'd even ever seen it done before, other than, on the, in the movies or whatever, when, someone's being crazy. One of the most comforting things I found was actually several essays by Charles Spurgeon, who was a big advocate of open air preaching, encouraged his students to go out where the people are and preach the gospel. And so that was kind of encouraging. I was like, okay, Spurgeon's not crazy. Maybe just a little bit crazy, but not, I can be that. I can get into that. But the thing that I guess, there's a number of lessons that I just want to share with you as I've contemplated why God did this. I think, first of all, one of the lessons that the Lord has taught me and others now that have joined me and others that just know of it and is God's really taught us about prayer. Because there's nothing in the world that will cause you to pray as when you're walking up to the middle of a square with hundreds of college students sitting around, and you know you're going to stand up in a minute and just start telling them about Jesus, right? I mean, the very first time I ever did it, I was, you know, probably one of the most terrifying things I've ever done. And, you know, for all kinds of reasons, I don't want to be that guy, right? I don't want to be a bad witness. I what are they going to say? What are they going to think? What are they going to throw at me? And you know that the only way that this is going to do any kind of good at all is if somehow God is right there with you, blessing it. And so it's taught me to pray. And it really never gets normal. I've preached somewhere between 70 and 100 times now on the university campus over the last few years. And it's still just you walking up and you're thinking, this is a bad idea. This is a bad idea. This is not a good idea. This is a bad idea. Right? I still think that every time. Come on, God, is there something else? This is not a good idea. This will never work. I have been utterly convinced that even though I don't believe that, I certainly don't believe that every Christian is called to this kind of ministry. I don't believe that, necessarily every church has to do this particular kind of ministry. There's different ways of doing this, but I've been utterly convinced of the necessity of putting yourself in places where you have to rely on God like that for His power to be at work. And if you're not putting yourself in those kinds of positions, then you won't need Him. Right? And I think that's a really dangerous place to be as a church, as Christians. I also have been convinced that the Lord still uses this kind of ministry. It's not like God started a revival on the university campus. I don't think you could call what we've seen a revival at all. It ebbs and flows, and there are some weeks and months that seem rather quiet, and you think, I don't know if this is really doing much and if this is helpful. And usually right around the time that I'm praying, okay, God, if you want us to do something different, would you please make that clear? God shows us why we have to keep doing it. One of the first times I went out, I think maybe we'd gone out a couple of times, but I was still very, very new and was terrified and thought it was crazy. And we had an intern that was working with us, and he started making coffee, and we would take it up to the square and we would hand out free cups of coffee and had a little bit of literature, some tracts and that kind of thing. New Testaments. And so he would go up ahead of time and set a little table up, some coffee, hand up free coffee. And then I would go up and preach. I got a text from him, and he says, hey, there's another open air preacher up here today. I'm like, oh no, this is, you know, how is this going to be helpful? I get up there. And he's going like this. There's this guy, and he's going, and he's definitely a little bit more, row the crowd up kind of style. He's going after him. He's got a group crowd that's pretty upset at him. They're yelling at him. He's yelling back. I'm thinking, oh no, this is not good. And I'm going to be, I'm that guy now. And, My intern says, I told him, I met him a few minutes ago and I told him you were coming. I'm like, oh no. He's pretty excited. Oh no. And, so I'm thinking, I'm sitting there praying. I'm thinking, oh God, maybe this is just not a good day. And maybe I should just let him do this and I'll come back another day. And all of a sudden I see him and he starts motioning to me. I come over to him. So I'm like, oh great. Okay. Well, here I go. I come over and he says, I gotta go to the bathroom. You go. So this guy goes running off, go find a restroom. And there I am, there's this crowd and they're riled up. And he had been talking about, I think it was like science and Christianity evolution and this kind of stuff. And so I kind of jumped in and there's this thing going but really quickly, this one guy just starts tearing into me and saying, you're only here because you hate us. You don't care about us. You're just here to make trouble. Here to make us feel bad. Why don't you just leave and get off our campus? And I said, I'm not here because I hate you. I said, I'm a pastor in this town and I'm here because I love you and I care about you. I said, would you like to get coffee sometime? And he says, what? I said, yeah, or beer or something. You want to go out. He said, what? I said, yeah. I said, I'm a pastor here. I live in this town. I live here. I'm here because I care about you, and I want to know you, and I want to talk to you. And there were a couple other people that had kind of jumped in and were talking and arguing, and so the one-on crowd sort of thing kind of started disseminating. It was me and this guy, and he's like, well, sure, whatever, yeah, I'll get together with you, fine. And I said, all right, well, what are you doing tomorrow? He said, nothing. We'll get together. So I said, well, give me, what's your name? He said, what's your number? Okay. Got it. Walking off actually, then I suddenly realized I was leaving town the next day. I just totally spaced it in the middle of the conversation. But I just didn't want to lose this opportunity. So that afternoon, that evening, I called the guy and I said, hey, it's me. I'm a preacher guy from campus. And he picked up and said, oh, okay, yeah. What's going on? I said, well, I forgot I'm going to be gone tomorrow, but I'm here tonight. You want to come over and we can go out tonight. And he said, well, I've got to be home with my kids, but my wife's working, but you can come over and we can talk. All right. And so he actually just lives a few blocks away from me. So I went over and he had a little fire going on outside and was having a beer and I walked up and sat down with him and we started talking and this guy, that yelled at me and was angry and stuff. He'd grown up in a church. And so I'm talking with him and he says, I just don't like how, you guys are just so judgmental and, hypocritical and it just makes me mad. And that's the deal. And I'm like, but you grew up in a church, right? You went to church. He's like, yeah, I did. And I said, are you a Christian? He said, I don't know. He said, I'm not really sure what I believe. I said, well, you got kids. What do you teach them? He said, well, I teach them about God. And I teach them stuff. I'm like, really? He said, yeah, no, I even put my daughter in a Christian school this year. I said, really? And he said, yeah. I said, what school? He says, oh, it's a school called Logos. I said, so what grade is your daughter in? She's in fourth grade. What class is she in? She's in Mrs. Bradley's class. I said, my son's in your daughter's class. Now, who planned that? Yeah. Right? Right? Who planned that? I still just get, goosebumps thinking about that. If you think about it, pray for my friend John. He's still not fully walking with God. His family, his wife is a dear friend of ours and they've been part of our friends now for several years. But that happened because I got dragged into a situation I didn't want to be dragged into, got into an argument with a guy I didn't really want to have an argument with, but the Lord knew that we needed to meet. And And I don't know the end of that story. I think part of the other, one of the other lessons that God's taught me about is again, this is a wisdom thing, and it's, I want to be careful. This is because it actually touches on some of the stuff I was talking about with Job yesterday, but, you know, the Bible requires Christians to be gentle. The Bible requires us to be peaceable. It requires us to pursue peace, to be good neighbors, right? All these things. That's a big part of what it means to be Christians. And at the same time, the Bible also requires us, to speak the truth boldly, to correct those who oppose the truth. It requires us, to be bold and courageous. And, you know, depending on who you are and, you know, your family and your personality and so on, we all kind of lean in different directions, you know, and maybe, you know, maybe you're, you know, so there's some folks that, you know, you feel like, you know, like, calm down, you know, like you need to calm down a bit, you know, and remember, grace, you know, remember patience, remember love, remember these things, you know, calm down, and that's important. I think on the other hand, sometimes many of us that, you know, really concerned about peace and grace and love are the ones we're afraid of stepping on anybody's toes anywhere. And we don't like it when somebody thinks we're wrong, right? And we don't want to even have that. You know, just don't like that. It's stressful. And but I think God calls us to hold those things together. And so one of the things that I've really prayed for as I've gone to campus to preach is God, help me to speak the truth boldly, but I pray that these students would somehow know that I'm there because I love them. And help me to love them. Help me to love them. I've been amazed. I think the very first time I went there was one of the one of the things that was most sort of shocking. But I got up, I preached about 10 minutes or so. I didn't really have a lot of interaction with anybody that time, and I finished, and then everybody clapped. And I was like, well, you know, like, thanks. And then several people proceeded to walk up to me and say, hey, you know, I don't believe in God or any of that stuff, but you know, thanks for caring enough to come out. Like, who thanks the open air preacher, right? But I just think that's God answering those prayers. And since then, I routinely have people coming up and say, hey, I think, you know, I don't believe in any of that religion stuff, but you know, thanks for caring enough to come up and talk to us about it. One of the things, too, though, is that I don't always get thanks. So this is that balance, right? This is that balance of, you know, I want to be grace. I want to be love. I want to be peace. And I want them to know that, but I also want to speak the truth boldly. But I've learned that again, my personality is again, I'm not drawn to this really. I don't want to do this really. I don't like being in arguments really. But I've come to see how God uses that in really wonderful ways. One of the talks I did, at the retreat last year, I did a study of the book of Acts. And one of the ways you can read the book of Acts is the triumph of the gospel through mobs and riots. Right? That's the book of Acts. Beginning at Pentecost, mob, all the way to the end. Right? Paul hauled all the way to Rome through mobs and riots, the triumph of the gospel. Right? You know, Paul is accused of turning the whole world upside down everywhere he goes, causing controversy, riots, and unrest. That's true. Right? It's true. Everywhere he went, he opens his big mouth and boom, right? every single city he goes to. Now he's not causing riots and mobs. He's not an anarchist, right? It's not because he gets a kick out of civil unrest. It's because he speaks the truth boldly in a way that hits. It smacks right into the culture and where the idols are and where the unbelief is, and it's explosive. But the moral of the story is every time you think, oh no, you know, Paul, come on. At the end of almost every single one of those episodes, it says, and then there were many disciples added to their number and they were greatly encouraged. And we're all ducking. And Paul says, see, that's what God does with controversy. Right? But Paul, you know, did you see what they wrote about you in the papers? Isn't it great? Right? More people loving Jesus. More people getting baptized, right? Some of the prominent women, now they believed. Now the Gentiles, they're believing. Some of the Jews, they believed. Every single episode, riot, controversy, argument, more people are saved. We're like, no, God, that's not going to work. Right? That's what we do. We tell God, no, controversy is bad. Right? When people misunderstand you, that's bad. God says, nah. Right? God says, no. You get big crowd, and you get lots of people listening, and they see you, and they see what you're really like, and they hear the gospel, and they're saved. That's how it happens. That's how it happens. And that's what I've seen. There's a guy that about a year ago, a year and a half ago, went out with Doug Wilson. This time he's gone with me once or twice. He used to do this back in the day, 20, 25 years ago. I didn't know about this actually until after I'd been going for a while. And Doug was like, hey, when do you go out? I used to do that. What? Why didn't you tell me? So he went out, he's gone out with me a couple times, but he went out with me about a year and a half ago. And one of the things that we've done a couple times that we've actually found really effective is I'll stand up and say, hey, my name is Toby Sumter. I'm one of the pastors at Trinity Reformed Church here in Moscow. And I'm here to talk to you today for a few minutes about Jesus. And this is my friend, Douglas Wilson. He's another pastor in town here. And I'm going to be talking about Jesus, and he's going to be asking some of the questions that you might be thinking. And so he'll, and sometimes we trade, and I'll do it the other way, but he'll sort of play the part of asking questions of a skeptic or someone that's antagonistic to the faith. And we found this effective because a lot of times once someone else is already asking questions, other people feel free, like, oh, I can ask questions too, and they can kind of jump in. Well, one time I went out there with Doug, and I hadn't even gotten through the introduction. My name is Toby Sumter. I'm going to talk about this. And this guy just falls off, just stops, and he's red in the face, and he says, you know, just hauls off. Yelling, cussing, you know, everything, you know, just mad. Get out of here. Bunch of lies, judgmental, you know, you're the problem in this world. You're the problem of this country. You're making, you know, you're full of hate, all this stuff. And so
what happened?
Instant crowd. Now, how likely is it that I was going to win that guy? Not very likely. What are the chances that there are people in that crowd might be willing to be won? Pretty good. Now there you go. Instant. 150 people. Boom. Right there. Listen, because there's a mad guy and a crazy preacher guy. Right? And what am I doing now? I'm answering his questions, but I'm answering his questions with a mind and a heart for everybody listening. I want to talk about Jesus, I want to talk about grace, I want to talk about salvation and forgiveness, and I want to do it for these people all around. And if God will break his heart, wonderful. But if not, it's for everybody else. Right? That's the blessing of controversy. Right? The blessing of a godly fight. Right? Now, I can't get drawn into it and take it personally. It's got to be grace, right? Because if I take anything personally, I've lost it. Right? So it's got to be all grace. But that's what they're seeing. They're seeing a mad guy, an angry guy, and who's got their sympathy? Well, pretty quickly, I do. Because I'm being gracious to him. What am I doing? I'm loving my enemy. I'm blessing the guy that's cursing me. What's your name? I'm not telling you my name. Hey, I'm Toby. Get away from me. Right, who's the friendly guy? Who's the hater now? Right? Right? But they can see it. The whole crowd's watching and they can see it. And I think that's why God uses it. Because it's the power of the gospel. It's the power of the cross. Right? Jesus was the innocent victim, right? They crushed him, and God said, good luck with that, I'm going to raise him from the dead and I'm going to save the world. Right? And the world sees. And I think that's what's happening with us. When we stand with Christ graciously, but firmly, and say, no, that's not right. That's not true. And this is why, right? This is sin. This is grace, right? And this is the cross. And let me just walk through why the gospel makes sense. And there's a crowd and they're listening. That guy kept on coming back that fall. I'd go out there and every couple of weeks, you know, I'd be preaching again. He'd show up and just, you know, chuck a couple of grenades and sometimes he'd walk off. Sometimes we'd argue more. But he was just, you know, he was a philosophy major, as you might have guessed. then about 3 months later, we had this great fall. Not this last fall, but the year before that. And, one of the hard things, of course, with open air preaching is weather. You never know what you're going to get weather wise, but you know, good weather is great for preaching. And we had this long, warm fall. It was just warm almost all the way to Thanksgiving, you know, pleasant day, sunny. And so there's, you know, kids all out there. They just love hanging out outside. And so it's just great. Otherwise, you know, when it's like this weather, you know, you're just preaching to the smokers. But they need Jesus too. But it's great ones. We had this long, long run through the fall. It was great. But he would show up and he would just, you know, show up. He was mad and angry, red in the face. And, you know, still here? Why are you still here? I told you, you know, go home, get off the campus and then, you know, walk off or whatever. Occasionally we'd have a little bit more in depth. He's full on, you know, kind of relativist. And so we'd just go back and forth on, you know, well, you know, why are you so upset if you're a relativist? You shouldn't care, you know, whatever. And, you know, this one day, late in the fall, I was up there. Actually, this is, I think, one of the other times that Doug came up, and we were doing that kind of question and answer sort of thing, and a good, decent-sized crowd gathered, and this angry guy shows up, and he's hollering and yelling, doing his thing, and again, we're trying to answer him, but crowd gathers. I think that was probably the biggest crowd I can remember. I bet you there was, you know, 200 or 300 people, students, just in this huge mall, listening, and there's questions coming from all over. You know, so there's this one angry guy, but then all the people are asking questions, and Doug and I are just kind of spaced out trying to answer questions and so on, and all over the map. You know, what about, you know, the massacre of the Canaanites? What about, you know, that's a hateful God, and what about this? And do you think homosexuality, they're all going to hell, and, you know, whatever, like just all over the map. And you're just trying to answer these questions. And in the middle of this, this other little kid, you know, 18-year-old punk, all of a sudden shows up and just starts tearing into Doug in just a really nasty way. Calling him names. Like, he wasn't even arguing. He was just calling him names. And Doug was just amazingly gracious. You know, sort of gently, firmly responding, but then, you know, we're doing other things, and this kid just kept on at him, just hammering at him, just poking with these. Just being like nasty. Like, the first guy was angry, and, you know, he'd cuss and he'd do this kind of stuff, but he wasn't as personally nasty. He was just mad. This guy was just, you know, in your eye nasty. And then as this conversation is going on again, there's the mad guy and there's the nasty guy and there's this huge crowd. First of all, again, just notice, like, you know, that's wonderful, right? There we are. Defending Christ because we've got enemies, right? Well, then this, right after that, we kind of dissipates and we finish up, and this angry guy finally, for the very first time, walks up to me and he says, "Hey," for months I've been, you know, trying to get, he says, he reached out and he says, "My name's Justin." "Hey, I'm Toby, good to meet you." He says, I'm really sorry about that nasty guy." But you see, the Lord even used, you know, sort of a worse guy to give that angry guy a glimpse of grace. And I said, "Hey, you want to get lunch sometime?" And he said, "Sure." We went out to lunch 2 or 3 times. And walked through the gospel with him several times, answered a lot of questions he had. Again, don't know that he's come to the Lord, but pray for him. Come on, I'm about out of time, aren't I? It's 9:30. But I'll tell one last story. I'm just to bring this in for a landing. One of the other things I've learned about this is, I guess I would really is the importance of being there and being there regularly. You sort of dream of some kind of massive intervention sort of thing where you're going to have this, massive thing, revival or something like this. But really, I think the efficacy of it is honestly being there a lot, just being there regularly. And, I know I've talked to enough of the kids now that, I'll be just preaching and I have people routinely just walking by and they just say, "Hey, Pastor Toby, not Christians, but we've talked once, we argued one time, they know who I am. Hey, Pastor Toby, how's it going? Wave, little nod, we know, okay, how's it going?" I had, one guy that, had, come to the Lord in college, and then went into the military and just completely went off the deep end and walked away from Christ. And, just his life was a wreck and, kind of was slowly starting to put things back together and, came to the University of Idaho to do a master's degree and, told his friends, he says, next time you see the preachers down there, can you text me and let me know? Cause I want to go down and talk to him. And, so one day we're down there preaching and finish up. And one of my buddies walks up with this guy and says, "Hey, this is Eli." I say, "Hey," and he says, I walked away from God 7 years ago and I need to get right. Will you help me?" I said, "Yeah, absolutely." And he still comes to Trinity. He's been coming since. So another fun story. One day I was out there, preaching, quiet day, not many people at all. I was preaching to maybe 5 or 8 people. Wasn't much. This one girl comes up and sits down and, preach. I finished preaching. She's watching me the whole time. And she comes up and she says, thank you so much for being here today. And I said, "Oh, sure. How are you doing?" She says, "Well, I've got some questions." I said, "Oh, well, go for it." And she says, I didn't grow up in a church or anything. I don't have any religious background or anything about God or Jesus or any of this stuff." She says, "But about 2 weeks ago, the Mormons came to my door and they gave me a Bible. And they said that I needed to pray and ask God if I should follow Jesus." She says, "So I took it and I kind of, thumbed through a little bit." She says, "And I just started praying, asking if there was, if I should follow Jesus." And she said, I don't know. I just got kind of a sense that I needed to learn more about this and find out about it. And I don't know much about it. And she says, then they came back a week later and they gave me a Book of Mormon and they said I needed to follow the teachings of, I need to ask God if I should follow the teachings of Joseph Smith. She said, "So I took that Book of Mormon." She said, "I don't know. I just felt kind of weird about it. I didn't really know what to do with that." And she says, "So finally this morning," she says, "I was just taking a shower and I just said, 'God, if I'm supposed to follow the teaching of Joseph Smith, can you please tell me?'" And then she said, "I got dressed and came up here and you were preaching. So can you tell me, should I follow the teachings of Joseph Smith?" And then for the next 10 minutes, I just gently said, "No. This is a different religion. It's a different gospel. And this isn't the grace of Jesus." And then walked her through this. Everything hinges on if God comes down to us himself and rescues us. If Jesus is God in flesh, then it's all grace. Right? It's not you reaching up to God. It's not you doing 10%. It's not you trying to be good enough. It's God coming to you, welcoming you, all grace." And she said, "That's what I want." And about a month later, she was baptized. And we've had enough of those kind of stories. It's not a torrent. It's not some kind of massive revival. But this has been good for us. And I think it's good for us. Maybe it's been good for me. Because again, God's taught me to pray in ways I haven't prayed before. But I think also because it's made me even, I think, preach, minister in different ways. Because I'm thinking now about those people all the time. It colors how I preach and how I teach and how I think about, because you've got to go in, you've got these questions. You've got to take everything and you've got to make it, you've got to answer the question and you've got to connect it to Jesus as fast as you can. Right? That's, and you can't, you've got to have a theological framework to do that. But you've got to take everything back to the cross, everything back to the gospel as fast as you can, because that's you've got to make that make sense again and again, because that's the thing that doesn't make sense. People understand about, morals, understand about having certain values or whatever, but they don't understand why Jesus matters, why the death and resurrection of some Jewish guy matters. And it's really not changed the way I think and pray and preach and minister. And I think in good ways, it's changing the way our church thinks and ministers too. They see these people coming in, being baptized, joining the church, seeing what God's doing. And I think in some really wonderful ways, it's changing us and making us, I think, more into the image of Jesus. So I think I'll stop there. I know I'm over time, but thanks.
Thank you, Pastor Sumter. If any of you are interested in having some conversation with Toby, our house is open this evening from around 6 to 8. Please come over and we'll sit around and talk some more.
That'd be great.
While we pray for our coffee time and worship service to follow. Dear Heavenly Father,